In our study of the book of Hebrews, we come to the 11th chapter, and today we're going to look at verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. The writer of Hebrews, the preacher of Hebrews, saw a storm of persecution rising on the church. He already felt the effects of this persecution on his congregation. There were people who had fallen away, people who had quit, people who had become apathetic, people that were just really struggling with the realities of living a life of Christian faith in a hostile environment where the government and the society was against them. He knew the key to surviving persecution was a solid faith in the Lord and an attendant hope. So in the 11th chapter, he talks about faith. After a brief description in the first three verses, he then goes on and gives over 30 examples of people of Old Testament believers, who were commended by God for their faith. He does this to encourage the congregation. Now, these are the people that came before you. They didn't have it easy. Use them as an example to strengthen your own faith so that you can endure the hostilities. The preacher begins with Abel, all the way back in Genesis 4, as we just read. Abel was the first man of faith. By faith, he offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice. Abel was also the first martyr for his faith. The preacher knew his congregation would be able to identify with him, because they were facing the same type of hostilities by the culture that they lived in, but even from within their families. And I think some of you understand what that difficulty can be in families that you are in, that not everybody's a believer. And it's the turmoil that could bring about. Simple conversations can turn into arguments. People can be very rude just by you asking if you could pray with them. The difficulties that Christians have each and every day is what Abel was living with. To understand Abel's faith, we have to go back to Genesis 4, and that's why we read that, to get the context for this fourth verse. And then once we have this background information, this context, we're going to look at three things that verse 4 teaches us about faith, Abel's faith. By faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice than his brother Cain. So we're going to learn about faith and true worship. Secondly, by faith, Abel obtained the righteousness of God. So we're going to learn how righteousness can be obtained through faith, faith alone. And lastly, by faith, Abel is, for all ages, a living voice, saying that the righteous shall live by faith. And then there will be an application. Let's look at the context, what we just read in Genesis 4. Adam and Eve had two sons, Cain and Abel. Cain went into agriculture. Abel went into animal husbandry or dealing with shepherding. Both were religious. When it came time to worship, both came to the place of worship. Both presented an offering. They dropped their envelope in the box, so to speak. They're coming to church. But curiously, God favored Abel's offering and rejected Cain's. Cain became very angry when his offering wasn't accepted. And although he was warned by God to get a handle on his anger, he didn't. He went out and killed his brother, Abel. So we read in Genesis 4, "Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, 'I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord.' And again she bore his brother Abel." Not exactly sure how many years apart they were. But Cain was the older, the firstborn. Abel was the younger brother. "Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the field, of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry and why has your face fallen?'" This is interesting, verse 4. "If you do well, will you not be accepted?" And so we see the grace of God here. Even though he didn't accept Cain's offering, God still will accept him if he listens to what God says to him. "And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it." Then Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Obviously, Cain did not heed the warning of the Lord. He didn't get his anger under control. He met his brother out in a field, confrontation, and the next thing you know, it escalated into a fight, and Cain killed his brother. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? And he says, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" Nice attitude. And the Lord said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand." That's significant because he was a tiller of the ground. God cursed the ground. "When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth." Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me today away from the ground, and from your face I shall be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." Then the Lord said to him, "Not so. If anyone kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold." And the Lord put a mark on Cain, lest any who found him should attack him. Then Cain went away from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Why the hostility? Why did a murder result from an offering? What made Cain so angry? What's that all about? We have to go back even further in Genesis, to Genesis 3:15, after Adam and Eve fell. And God had a conversation with them, and he was talking to the serpent. And he says to the serpent, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." This is the first time in the Old Testament that the gospel is given. The reference here is, "He shall bruise your head," a reference to Christ on Calvary, crushing the head of Satan. "And you, serpent, shall bruise his heel." That's the crucifixion. Jesus triumphant is triumphant over Satan at the cross. The good news is that through the woman's seed, a Redeemer would be born to provide a way back to fellowshipping with God. You'll recall that Adam and Eve had been expelled from the garden. They were outside the presence of God. Well, how do they get back into the presence of God? How do they reconcile a relationship? A Redeemer had to come. And God, right up front, this seed, this Redeemer is none other than Jesus Christ. His heel would be bruised by Satan on Calvary, but His death and resurrection would bruise Satan's head. A way for sinners to be reconciled to God was foretold here in Scripture. Genesis 3:15 also provides us with the reason why Cain murdered his brother. Cain hated his brother. Why? Because there was enmity, which literally means hatred. Treat as an enemy. Cain hated his brother. Enmity. And that enmity between Cain and Abel was put there by God. The seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. And although these two boys had the same parents, Cain and Abel were vastly different. Their hearts were different. They would be at enmity with each other. Genesis 4 was the first public visible acting out of the enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. For Cain was of the wicked one, 1 John 3:12, and slew his brother Abel. This was the first instance of the enmity between the seeds, and consequently the pattern and example of the conflict that exists throughout the ages, the conflict that resulted in Christ's death, and it's the reason why there's conflict today between Christians and non-Christians. Abel spoke volumes from the grave to the persecuted Christians in that early church. What they were experiencing, that hatred from the society that hated them just because of what they believed, just because of their worship of Jesus Christ. What they were experiencing, Abel first experienced with Cain. So the people identified with Abel. It was a brilliant move on the part of the preacher to be able to refer them back to this one who died for his faith. What Abel told them as he still spoke from the dead was that from the very beginning, in the first family, there was enmity between the two seeds, between believers and unbelievers, between the righteous and the unrighteous, between him and his older brother Cain. Abel's message, unbelievers persecute believers. Evil doers persecute the righteous. They always have and they always will. Christians, your suffering, your persecution is not something unique to you or to your day. It has been around since the beginning. The only way you survive persecution, the only way you preserve your faith, your soul, is through faith. Faith produces hope, and hope produces perseverance, and that is how the righteous are able to survive the persecution. It's all about faith. The word faith is found twice in Hebrews 11:4. It's found over 35 times in the book of Hebrews, and it's found over 25 times just in Hebrews 11. The focus here is on Christians that are being harassed, ostracized, persecuted, martyred, are to continue to believe in God, that He exists, and that He rewards those who continue to trust in Him, and that He will never leave them nor forsake them, even when the rest of the world does. So we have this context here of Hebrews 11 by looking at Genesis 4. Now, the 3 points here. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. Abel's faith teaches us about true worship. Abel's faith teaches us about true righteousness. Abel's faith teaches us about being a true witness for Christ. Even when those around you reject you, mistreat you, and persecute you. That's the encouragement that the preacher is offering to his congregation. Biblical encouragement. Look at these faithful saints of old. They are going through what you're going through, but they made it because of their faith in God. True worship is an act of faith. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, and through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. First two words are key. By faith, Abel offered. By faith. How did Abel get that faith? The Bible tells us in Romans 10:17, and faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. So where did Abel hear God's word? Well, the scriptures don't tell us. But I believe Abel and Cain heard the word of the Lord from their parents, Adam and Eve. The primary place for instruction in God's word is the home. The primary place for faith development is in the home. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice. There was nothing intrinsically wrong with Cain's offering. Grain, fruit, or vegetable offerings were later included in the Mosaic law. But the blood offerings were always the more acceptable offerings. They were always first. Cain offered a grain offering. But Abel offered a blood sacrifice which was more excellent than the grain offering because it was an offering that dealt with sin. Grain offerings never did that. Blood offerings did. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The life of faith always begins with a sacrifice for sin. It begins with believing that God, believing what God says about us, that we are sinners, that we are worthy of death, that we need God's forgiveness, and that God has a plan for our deliverance. He has made a way. And that way is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, believing in what he has done on the cross and the empty tomb. Now let our sanctified imaginations work for us here a little bit. Adam and Eve have learned some hard lessons along the way, hadn't they? And about atonement. About obedience and about disobedience. And they passed them along, these lessons, to their sons. How did Abel know what to offer to God? How did Cain? Their parents told him. Adam and Eve knew that God had shed the blood of animals to give them skins to cover them up after they sinned. They had tried to cover themselves up after they sinned with their own ideas of how to cover themselves up. But God shed the blood of animals. He killed the animals to save the people. The shed blood was what covered Adam and Eve, and that was passed down to their children. Abel offered the first of his flock a more acceptable sacrifice. Cain, on the other hand, did not offer the more acceptable blood sacrifice. Instead, he offered the fruit of the ground. Both knew what God wanted. Abel offered to God what God wanted. Cain offered to God what he wanted. Abel was obedient, Cain was disobedient. And we read Genesis 4:4, the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. You see, Cain thought he can approach God any way he wanted to. His way, not God's way. Yes, Cain believed in God. Yes, Cain recognized God, but he did not obey him. He did not believe him. Cain expected God to receive his offering just like his brothers, to be impressed and satisfied by what he had given in worship. And when his offering was not accepted, he became angry that God did not accept it. Now, we're not exactly sure how God regarded or how God made Abel know that his offering was accepted and Cain's wasn't. We do know from the Old Testament there's five instances when God accepted sacrifices of various people. Fire came down from heaven and burned them up. But nothing said like that in Scripture. But it wouldn't be entirely wrong if God had acted that way. And Cain saw what happened to his offering, nothing. And what happened to Abel's offering, it was consumed. Cain has become the father of all false religions. I can get to God my way. This is who I think God is. I'll create him in my image and I'll approach him my way. Well, that doesn't cut it with the Lord. You come to God, the one who has revealed himself through creation, through his word and through his son. That's the God we worship. And we come to him through the prescribed ways that he has established. And there's really one established way, and that's through the shed blood of a substitute. In the Old Testament, there were the animals. In the New Testament, it is Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So when Christians proclaim faith in Christ as the only way to God and that all other ways are ineffective, people get upset. They want to approach God their way, not God's way. And as you stand for the Lord, sparks are going to fly. So we see that faith, by faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice than his brother Cain. We also see that by faith, Abel obtained the righteousness of God. Verse 4 again, by faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. So Abel today is still speaking to us about how a person can obtain God's righteousness. Now, it'd be very easy to look at this passage and interpret it as Abel obtained the righteousness of God because of some good deed that he did. Proper worship. That it was a good works that he offered to God, and God then commended him as righteous. So it'd be very easy to see a works righteousness example. Twisting that here. And I say twisting it because the first two words again of verse 4 are critical. By faith, we are declared righteous. We are declared justified by our faith in Jesus Christ. That is absolutely essential. Abel's gifts were acceptable because of his faith. And faith is not just a trust. Faith is always accompanied by works. But faith is the key. Works do not make us righteous. Faith makes us righteous. And the result of being justified, born again, forgiven by God, is a life of obedience, doing good deeds. You got that? So important, because so many people will talk about all the things that they do for the church, all the things that they sacrifice, all the things, the extra hours. And that's got to be the reward. That's got to be the way to get to heaven. When it's not. It is only through Christ's righteousness that sinners can be declared righteous. The righteousness that we have is corrupt. It's a self-righteousness. The righteousness that Christ has is a pure righteousness. And the cross is the great trading post. It's the place where our sin is imputed or credited to Christ. And His righteousness is then imputed to us. The righteousness we have as Christians is a foreign righteousness. It's an alien righteousness. It's not something we are born with. It's something we must be born again with. Very, very important. So we don't want to misinterpret Hebrews 11:4 saying, well, if I give a better gift than somebody else, that means I'm going to be righteous in the eyes of God. No. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice. And it was because of his faith he was commended as righteous. God accepted his gifts. Paul tells us in Romans 2:13, for it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified. You see, saving faith is always accompanied by works, always accompanied by true worship, always accompanied by obedience. So if a person says, well, yeah, I believe. Abel could say, yeah, I believe. I believe in God. That makes me righteous. Well, he gave evidence that he believed in God by presenting God with an acceptable sacrifice. And the third reason we see that we see from Abel's faith, not the reason, but the third instance of Abel's saving faith is that he was a true witness for God. That even though he died, he still speaks. Abel lived thousands of years before the Hebrew church first met. And yet the preacher could go back to Abel as an example of what it meant for the righteous to live by faith. Abel was a witness of what it meant to be righteous and to live a righteous life. And his witness not only spoke to the church back then, it speaks to us today. To be a witness for Christ is to be able to endure the suffering and the persecution and to remain true to God in our worship, true to God in our witness, true to God in our living. So those are the three reasons, based on what we see in Genesis 4, of why the preacher went back to Abel as an encouragement. Now for the application, I would be remiss if I did not address another issue found here, and that's the issue of justice. This needs to be addressed for the simple reason that when Christians are persecuted for their faith, it is easy to lose faith in God. It's easy to lose faith in God when you don't see those who are persecuting you suffer any consequences. Or if they do suffer consequences, they're not at the same level or cannot be compared with the loss that the victim experiences. I mean, it's easy to talk about perseverance here. It's easy to talk about hanging in there for Christ here. But where is the justice for the many Christians in Syria, in Iraq, who are being persecuted, who have been tortured? When the Christian wife has to deal with the fact that her husband was beheaded and his blood is crying from the ground, God, where's the justice? And ISIS walks away. It will affect your faith. It would not surprise me that when we get to heaven and we talk to the writer of Hebrews here, that there was discussion going on in his congregation after this sermon that said, that went something like this: Cain murdered Abel. Abel's blood is crying from the ground for justice. God, you cursed the ground. You punished Cain. You sent him out as a fugitive. In a sense, you exercised grace with him. Abel's dead, Cain's still alive. And then Cain comes back and he pleads out to God saying, this punishment is too hard for me. They're going to kill me. I can't handle this. And what does God do? He protects him. Anybody who touches Cain is going to feel my vengeance sevenfold. And the blood of Abel is crying out, where's the justice? Who are you protecting, God? Why does a murderer get off and we don't have our dad? Why is it that Christians suffer and there doesn't seem to be any relief? And everybody else just goes about doing what they're doing. And they're protected. And then we talk about, oh, it's all grace. Grace can be a smokescreen for, I don't want to be accountable. I'm going to live any way I want. If I make a mistake, if I commit a sin, well, God will forgive. It's all grace. Where's the justice? See, that's where the rubber hits the road on these issues of persecution and faith and our doctrines, when the reality of it is, why is this murderer walking and Abel is dead? Why didn't God protect Abel? He didn't do anything wrong. Cain's the one that did something wrong, and he walks. This is where you have to really dig into the text here and understand that what God has done to Cain is serving justice both in this life, and it's pointing to the final judgment. God curses the ground that Cain works, but he exiles Cain from the presence of God. Being apart from God is worse than death. And we may not think that way here, but people that are living in sin that God has given over, who can't pray, who have no hope, who don't understand anything from God, who are trying to make it in life, and everything just blows up, there are things that are worse than death. When God brings His punishment down on Cain, we see grace here, but we also see that he has been tossed out of the Garden of Eden. He no longer is in the dwelling place of God. In a sense, he is in a living hell. Is justice served? But that's nothing compared to what's pointed down the road. Abel speaks about faith, about righteousness. What does Cain speak about? What does Abel have to look forward to on Judgment Day? He's righteous because of his faith. What does Cain have to look forward to on Judgment Day? He will be exiled from God for eternity and will burn in the hell fires. Is there justice? Absolutely. It may not come in this lifetime, but it's going to come because God is a just God. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Abel's hoping for justice. His blood is crying for it. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. The conviction of things not seen. I can't see it right now. I don't see any justice in my life right now. The church is coming under more and more fire. There's greater legal actions taken against the church. It's going to become more and more dangerous to be a Christian in this nation. And it doesn't seem as though anybody is stopping anything. And it doesn't seem like God is sending a revival. It doesn't seem like God is doing anything to save His church. Ah, but wait! We may not see what He's doing. We probably don't. But when you have faith, what you hope for, the promises that He gives will occur. So when we are in the midst of persecution, the writer of Hebrews said, without faith it is impossible to please God, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. That's the anchor. We're going to go through a lot. There are some people going through it already. The only way that you endure is through faith in Jesus Christ. We may not see all the promises fulfilled in this life. In fact, if you look toward the end of Hebrews, you will see that most of them, these faith Hall of Famers, never received what was promised to them in this life. Abraham didn't find that city, but there's a city in heaven. There's a city that's a glorious city, and he will be there because of his faith. So I want to encourage and prepare and coach for the difficulties that come as Christians are going to be there. They've been there since the beginning. The only way we can handle it is by following the Word of God, following the examples that He has set before us, and trusting in His promises, trusting in Jesus Christ, that when it's all said and done, God's plan will be fulfilled and His people will be saved and justice will be served. Amen.